Twisters are powerful storms that carve a path of uncontrollable destruction wherever they go. Well, good morning. My name is Josh DePasquita. I'm the associate pastor here at Seneca Community Church. Welcome again. If you're new here, I'd love to get to meet you. And it's my privilege to be able to bring the word to you this morning. If you're just joining us this morning and you've not been here, or if you've been here, you know that this is the first of a message in a series called Twisters, When God's Word Gets Twisted. If we look at our scripture this morning, and turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16, we see something that the Apostle Peter, who's writing a letter to the Christians in his time, about another guy who's wrote another letter named Paul, and he thinks that Paul is being a little confusing in some of the things he says. He says some of his comments are hard to understand. Now, this is Paul. He's written some other things in the Bible. He says, kind of hard to understand sometimes, which is fair. And those who are ignorant and unstable have twisted his letters to mean something quite different, just as they do the other parts of Scripture. Then, and this will result in their destruction. Twisters are powerful storms that carve a path of uncontrollable destruction wherever they go. The same goes for God's Word. Twisting the Bible to mean something other than what God intended carves an uncontrollable path of destruction. It's tempting when we come to the Bible, come to God's Word, and we don't understand what's going on in front of us. It's tempting to twist what God says to say what we think or what we want it to say rather than how God intended it to say. But what God's Word says here in 2 Peter is that twisting Scripture like this causes your own destruction. This should give us a warning. When we come to the Bible, when we read the Bible, when we listen to it, when we hear it preached, we should be asking God to reveal what He means. Asking Him how He wants us to use His Word to change our hearts. If we hear God's Word with a heart that is closed and unwilling to change, we stand on an unstable foundation and risk our own destruction. Now, if you're not sure about what you read in Scripture or you're confused, you need to take it seriously, asking God to help you understand and have an open and humble heart, and ask faithful people who have also in the Word to help you. Now, you've come to church today, and whether or not you wanted to, you get to hear the Word preached. You get to hear the Word preached, and you have a choice to stay closed, unwilling to change, or to open your heart, to soften your heart as God speaks to you through His Word. If you have not put your faith and trust in Jesus before today, if you have not yet said yes to Him as your Savior, I pray that when you hear what His Word has to say, what He has to say, that it starts to open up your heart to the greatest relationship that you can ever have. It's a relationship with God who loves you. He loves you enough to send Himself down to die for you, sacrifice Himself for you, so that He could wipe away every sin that you have, so that you could be in relationship with Him. It's a relationship with Jesus who rose from the dead to share His resurrection life with you, with me, with us forever. Now, it's my prayer today and throughout this series that God will do a work of change in your heart, the work of change in my heart. And I pray that He starts to make more intimate your relationship with Him, or even starts that relationship with you with Him for the first time. Let's go ahead and ask Him for help today as we tackle Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Let's pray. Father, help, please. thank you for the opportunity, God, to preach and to bring this word. I pray, Lord, that as you speak in your word, Lord, that I would get out of the way, that your word would become clear, and that the people here, Lord, would be able to hear what you have to say. Not what I have to say, but what you have to say through your word. God, thank you for this opportunity. Open us, humble us, and keep us. It's in your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. So as I said, we're coming to Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 today. This is our first Scripture that we're tackling in the Twisters series. It's a scripture that's often twisted for various different reasons. So let's go ahead and read this in a couple of different versions. And if you have your Bibles in front of you, I encourage you to open it, whether it's your phone Bible or other Bible. I encourage you to open your Bibles to this verse. We'll be here looking at it and be able to read it. So, in one version it says in the ESV, this is the one I use most often, and that's, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let's read it in a different version. The NIV says, start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. One more for now. The NLT, direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. When we look at these verses, we can see, okay, yeah, this sounds like they're saying a really good thing, training up your kids, and when they're old, they won't let it go. Okay, great. But there are a couple of ways that this is twisted. And we're going to talk about this, those ways. We'll first talk about what it does not mean. There's another way that I'll talk about what it does not mean, and then talk about what it means, and then really talk about, okay, well, how do we live this out? That's pretty much where we're going today. So first, what it does not mean is that Proverbs 22:6 does not mean that we have a guarantee or a promise of a good result. Recently, I was talking to some people who showed pigs at the state fair. I was talking to these people, and they were saying that pigs are actually one of the most intelligent and trainable animals. I was surprised. I'd heard about dogs being shown at fairs before. My sister-in-law has shown Shetland sheepdogs for years, but I have never heard about showing pigs. But to my surprise, as I said, the most intelligent and some of the most trainable animals. You can spend months training and showing a pig to walk around the ring, keep their head up, and obey your commands, follow your lead. And when showtime comes, the judges and the competitors are ready. They step into the ring with the pig, and the pigs do what they want. They can go just as fast backwards as they can forwards. They might be trained, and they might turn out well, or they might stubbornly refuse to comply. It's really up to them. Some of you may be able to relate, either having seen this before, or having trained pigs, or even maybe some of you working with pigs know that how stubborn these animals can be. Coming back to this verse, every person who takes the time to teach a child hopes that they get it. When you take the time to teach a child, or really teach anyone, you hope that the result of what you're teaching is that they get it. Parents especially, who love their kids, really want to teach them, hoping that it keeps them from harm, wanting them to be successful, wanting them to live a good life, find good friends, be able to financially provide for themselves and maybe for their aging parents later in life. My parents are here today, by the way. A parent who also knows Jesus loves their child and wants their child to know God, have a relationship with him, and be able to live a life following him. It's really easy for teachers, and especially parents, to cling to this verse as a promise. Very easy to cling to this verse as a promise. Well, because if we read it again, Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Or start the child off on the right path, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Well, fantastic. That means if I start off them well, if we start them off well, all we need to do is teach them well, and they will be Christians. And we can spend eternity together as a family with Jesus. Who wouldn't want that? But perhaps you're on the other side of parenting, where you see someone else who's on the other side of parenting and they have a child, or you have a child who's turned away, lost their hope in Christ, and is living in the world, loving the things of this world. Maybe they've even outright rejected God. It can be easy, very easy, to think, well, I've failed, or think, well, that parent clearly failed. Look at their child and look at how they turned out. It can be very easy to think that we've failed. It's a lot easier to blame the teacher. It's a lot easier to blame the teacher than to deal with the heartbreaking reality that someone has rejected God, especially if that someone is your own kid. It's a lot easier. It's a lot easier to blame the teacher, take it on yourself. A lot easier to think there's something that went wrong here, rather than to deal with the heartbreaking reality that someone has rejected God, especially if that someone is your own kid. But this verse is not the hope that we cling to as a promise. This verse is a principle, not a promise. This verse is a principle, not a promise. The book of Proverbs, which is where this was written, Proverbs 22:6, the book of Proverbs was written as a collection of God's wisdom. They are written to impart wisdom for living a right life before God. The principles are guidelines, not guarantees. If a child is taught well and to own and to grow in their faith in Jesus, and you see that, and they are taught to read their Bible and live in a way that reflects that relationship with Him, it's very likely that a child will continue in that relationship and continue to grow and mature as an adult. But it's not a guarantee. See, the parent can be the best teacher, but a child can still choose to walk away. See, human teachers fail all the time. Parents are never perfect. Parents are never perfect. We make plenty of us, I say us, I'm not yet a parent, I would like to be it someday, but plenty of parents make mistakes and they're not perfect. But your grown child's choice to rebel is not your responsibility. Your grown child's choice to rebel is not your responsibility, it's their choice. When they're young, maybe you can take a little bit more responsibility because they're in your home. But when they make their own choice, they've made their choice, and it is not your responsibility. Now, this does not negate the responsibility to teach, and more on that later. Everyone is still responsible for their different roles, and this does not mean that we give up on kids who rebel. It does not mean it is still a parent's responsibility to teach their children, and a rebellious child may need a firmer hand or a different kind of strategy, but they should not be neglected. However, this strategy should not be just giving in to the child's whims. Proverbs 22:6 does not mean we should teach kids on their own terms. When we read this verse in a different version, in the easy-to-read version, you might get a little confused if you read it in a certain way. It says, teach children in a way that fits their needs, and even when they are old, they will not leave the right path. Same second half of the verse. The first verse, half of the verse, might be able to look at that and say, oh, well, teach children in a way that fits them. Well, it doesn't quite say fits them. It says fits their needs. And if you look at it in other versions, it says teach a child in the way he should go, not in the way that he wants to go. It's not rocket science for me to tell you, or revelatory for me to say, that if you don't, or if you let a kid get what they want, then they learn that they get what they want. It's not revelatory for me to say that, but sometimes we need a bit of a reminder. If a kid wants something that's not good for them, or they're not respecting their parent or their teacher, it does not teach them respect given to their rebellious will. Now, each child has a unique personality. This is very true. And each child, in the way you teach a child, the way I was taught and the way my three siblings were taught, were not exactly the same thing. The way we were disciplined was not exactly the same. And that's perfectly normal. But if you keep giving a kid what they want and end up teaching them that they can get their way. Actually, another way of interpreting this verse and another way of translating it might say to teach a child in their own way. And when they are old, they will not depart from it. In other words, this very verse can say the exact opposite. If you let a child get taught in their own way, in the way that they want, when they're old, they're not going to depart from it. They'll keep wanting their own way. But need does not mean whim or desire. By way of illustration, let's go to the grocery store. If you're a mom or a dad, you know that the grocery store can often be a battleground state. We go to the grocery store, maybe we see a family. Well, they seem to like they're doing fine. Maybe a mom and their kid. They seem like they're doing fine, and suddenly they turn the corner into the dreaded cookie aisle. Mom, I want a cookie. The mom looks around the store, seeing all of the other people, and decides, okay, but just one. Child eats the cookie and starts squirming around from the sugar high that they have just received. Reaches out, knocks a few things off some shelves. Honey, that's not nice. I want another cookie. You can see where this is going. Either the child gets more cookies and more spastic and more crazy, and maybe the parent gets even more angry and frustrated, or the parent says no, and the child throws a fit until mommy says yes. All the power in this example is in the child's whims. Now, two things. First of all, I am not a parent, so I do not have personal experience with this other than maybe being that child in that example. But second of all, cookies are not evil. Cookies are not evil. The value here, however, is in choosing to train the child. Train them that, well, maybe cookies are not good for you right now, or maybe we can get some for later. Whatever strategy you choose to employ, training should be the highest value, not the child's whims and not their needs. And that example can be applied any situation, anywhere. This Proverbs 22:6 does not mean giving into a child's whims. So what does it mean? Well, it does mean that kids need training. Kids need training. Well, why? Well, the second half of the verse is a warning that when they are old, they will not depart from it, either the good way or the bad way. So there is a very real warning that it is possible for people to depart from the good things that they have been taught. Okay, well, we need to do our due diligence then. So if you have your Bibles with you, you can turn with me to the New Testament. There's a passage that Paul is writing. Maybe it might be a little confusing, but we're going to return there anyway, and that's to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. So if you're with me, turn with your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. There we are. I'm going to go ahead and read those for us. It says, indeed, all those who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from being bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings that which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So why do we need training? We need training. Is it not just for kids? And not just for young ones, but everyone needs training, especially children. Well, why is that? Well, we read in verse 12, it says in verse 12, indeed, all those who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So we need training to endure hard times because they're coming. As a matter of fact, in Scripture, we don't see that life will be happy and rainbows. We see that life will be hard, that people will persecute us. But there is a hope that we have in Christ Jesus. But if we don't know that hope, then we don't know that hope, and we can't cling to it. So we need this training in order to endure hard times. We also need training to identify the lies. It says in verse 13 that evil people and imposters will go on from being bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Doesn't that sound like our culture right now? Bad to worse, weird to weirder, imposters of hope. Imposters going on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. There's a lot of lies out there. Lots of other teachings. We see lots of kids today walking away from the church, walking away from hope in Christ for weirder and worse imposters of hope. But that's what they are. They're imposters of hope. So we need to be able to identify those lies. Why? Because we also need to be able to firmly believe in Jesus. When we encounter those lies, encounter those different teachings, if we don't know the teaching of Jesus, then we don't know how to line it up and stick firmly to what Jesus says. So we need to firmly believe in that, because it's really easy to get mixed up if we don't hold on to it firmly. It says in verse 14 and 15, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned, having firmly believed it, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." See, Timothy, in this letter, is being commended for having learned all these things in childhood and then having to stick to them and keep to them. Now, if you happen to have not been grown and raised in faith, that means that you have the wonderful opportunity to do all of that right now. It starts whenever you say yes to Jesus as your Savior. Whenever you start that relationship with him, you get to continue in that training. Start that training and continue in that training and get to know the God of the Bible, the God who loves you, and the God who sent his son Jesus to die for you and be rose again so that you could have life in him. We get to start to know him whenever we put our faith in him, whether that's at young age or not. We need to be able to firmly believe. The last one is to be equipped for every situation. We need training to be equipped at every situation. It says all scripture is God-breathed, but profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the servant of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. The scriptures in the Bible, the word that God gives us, equips us with tools. Tools for every situation. There's a scripture for every situation. There's a tool for every situation. Scripture may not directly apply to something like, say, what car you should choose. But there will be something like steward your finances well, or different principles you might find in the Proverbs that say maybe don't go into debt. Even those things, sometimes we do that, and they're just simply wisdom principles. But the Bible has some things to say about most every situation. And these tools are ultimately to apply our hope, to apply our hope in Christ, to be fully equipped with everything good, and in everything good, ready to pass it on. Ready to pass it on to the next person who needs to be trained, equipped, rebuked, exhorted, etc. It's all in the Word. All we need is right there. So, what does this look like lived out? Proverbs 22:6, lived out. Well, here's a question. Who does the training? Whose job is it? Well, if we read in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, we see this. It says, "Fathers," it can also be translated parents, "do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up in the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord." So here we have a direct commandment from one of God's authors in the Bible that parents should be the ones to raise up their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And this is true in the Proverbs. This is true all throughout the Bible. Parents have the primary role of teaching their kids. Parents have the primary responsibility to train their kids. And for parents to be able to do that, parents also need to be able to know God and know his word in order to teach their kids how to know God and know his word. But as I said before, parents are not perfect. They need help just like everyone else needs help. Parents are not perfect. God invites children to be a part of his people. His people grow together. So a few verses before this, and gather your attention, because if you are not a teacher and you are not a parent, perhaps you've been listening to this message so far saying, okay, train up a child, I guess maybe someday I might have a kid, or maybe like, we're good, I don't need it to do that. But if you haven't been paying attention up until now, this is where this part you start to pay attention, because a few verses before this, in chapter 4 of Ephesians, Paul is talking to the whole church. The whole church. Full training takes a village, as they say. And if you've not been paying attention before now, it takes every part of God's people to train and grow every other part of God's people. So let's read chapter 4 of Ephesians. A couple of verses taken out of here. Lead a life worthy of your calling. For if you've been called by God, then we will no longer be immature like children. It makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Doesn't that sound amazing? The everyone is called to lead a life worthy of Jesus. Whether you're a parent or not a parent, or you have an influence directly in a child's life, or you just simply are a Christian, he wants his people who say yes to him to grow together with one another and grow with him, to be more like him, to grow out of spiritual infancy, to grow no longer being immature like a child, but to grow up, mature into an adult, faithful Christian, always growing. We never arrive. No matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, you're always growing, never arriving until we get to heaven and God finishes his work in our lives of perfecting us. But until we get there, we haven't arrived. We can always learn. Learn from everybody else, not just learn from the older people, not just learn from the parents or the teachers, but learn from everyone. As a matter of fact, each person has a unique part. It says a special work helps the other parts grow. So, what's your part? What's your special work? If you are a parent, teach your kids the love of Jesus. If you're a parent, teach your kids the love of Jesus. Now, I am not a parent, and so I will refrain from sharing much in the way of parenting advice. But I will say to lean into your resources. Lean into your resources, because parenting can be hard, and you need help. It's not just an individual thing. We get to be part of the body of Christ so that we can do this together. Lean into your resources. First of all, your primary and most important resource is the Bible. The Bible should be everywhere in your home. First of all, in your conduct, the way you live, how you act, and it should be in your speech, talking about it. It should definitely be not just opened in the kids' zone room and not just opened at youth group, not just opened here on Sunday morning, but should be opened and evident in your home as an example to your kids. The Bible should be everywhere. That's your resource. You can also ask other parents to help. Help for wisdom. Look for wisdom from other parents about, okay, I have this difficult situation that I don't really know what to do. Find someone who might have that situation. We have this wonderful community. We get to know each other and share together, and we get to grow together. And the love of God gets to abound and be more and more fruitful as we do that. And then, ultimately, pray. That's your best resource. Pray, 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 and more pray. Because ultimately, when we teach, it's up to them. It's up to the child. It's up to the other person. When we teach, it's ultimately up to God to transform another person's heart. So we need to pray. Pray. Ask God, please, in my teaching of this kid or in my teaching of this person, please help me to teach them well and teach them about you. And Lord, please change their heart. Because it's not going to be you who changes anyone's hearts. It's going to be God. So pray. Lean into that resource and pray. Now, if you're a teacher, teach the love of Jesus to everyone. That's your special part that you get to play, and you get to be a teacher. Or if you are a teacher or a helper, well, I'd encourage you to step up and do your part in the church. What does that look like? Well, I encourage you to pray and ask God what special work he has in mind for you as a part of his growing people, whether you're a teacher or not. But especially for teachers or helpers, what part can you play in this work? Next week, we get to launch our ministries at SCC, and I also want to ask you to consider being a volunteer in one of our kids' ministries. It takes a village. It takes a great amount of people, a rotating amount of people, whether you can commit to one Sunday a year or if you can commit to 3 Sundays a month. Fantastic. Whatever capacity that you have, whatever special work that God is calling you to do, here's the church. We are here to help one another and here to grow. Whatever you can give and whatever the Lord's asking and laying on your heart. Next week, we get to launch our fall series, and we highlighted community groups earlier, so I'll highlight that we get to launch our youth group ministry. That's on Sunday evenings. We'd love to have more mature believers, especially younger and older influences, and especially older influences. We have a lot of young adults working right now. If you find yourself that you are looking for a place to be an influence in a kid's life that may not be yours, youth group's a great place to do that. We also have other opportunities in Kids Zone and in Awana on Thursday nights. That starts up not this week, but in a couple weeks. And there are lots of opportunities to prepare for our launch of our fall ministries and to join in SEC in those things. See your program see actually the end of this bulletin for details. Turn it over, and you can see the say yes form that you can fill out later. Now, if you are a Christian, lest I let anyone get away with this from a practical application, if you're a Christian, be an example. Be an example of the love of Jesus. No matter who you are, keeping in mind that every single person is always setting an example. No matter if you think people are watching or not, you're always setting an example. Think of it this way. You are always teaching kids. Every single one of you, every single one of us, are always teaching kids. If a kid can see you, they're being taught. Because they're very young and impressionable. When they see things, they do things, and they think things. You're always teaching kids. So maybe keep in mind, for you're asking yourself, is what I'm about to do, if a little one saw me doing what I'm about to do, or even doing what I'm doing right now, what would I be teaching them? Would I be teaching Jesus? Keep that in mind. Now, if you're a kid, lest I let you get away with anything, if you're a kid, set an example of the love of Jesus. We turn back over to 1 Timothy. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Set an example. You know, if you're a kid, you can help us grow. You might have something to say or something to ask, a good question. When you're learning and growing, you help us grow. You help the rest of us as a body grow. And we can learn from you. You have a special part to play in the body of Christ, not just for adults. God invites you to be a part of his people, no matter how young you are. So, where are we going from here? Well, when we teach kids the love of Jesus, we all grow. We all grow in his love. When we teach, we grow. When we teach, we grow. So as we're going out from here today, watch out for twisters. Watch out for twisters, the temptation to twist scripture and risks our own destruction. And now, if you're not sure about a scripture or how to teach it, ask God to help you understand and have an open heart. The bottom line for Proverbs 22:6 today is pretty simple. Whether it's as a parent or as a teacher or just simply by example, teach kids to follow Jesus. Teach kids to follow Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the opportunity this morning to be in your word. I pray that as we go on and move from here, you would put it on our hearts to be an example, to be a light, to know you. God, I pray that this word this morning would be an encouragement to our hearts to want to get to know you more so that our lives and our character and the way we act might continue to be an example, not just for our family, not just for those who are immediately around us, but for any kid and any person that gets to see what your life is like. Because your life in someone else's life is a powerful, powerful thing. It transforms people. They be able to see how you transform people. You are the one who does that. So God, as we go from here, help us to teach by example, teach by teaching, and teach by parenting. And help us to do it all in your power and in your name, Jesus, for your glory. And it's in your name that I pray. Amen.